Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's raining jumpers from Michael Porter Jr.
4 for 4.
QAnon Durant.
4 for 4 from three.
What's he got? 22 points already?
He's got 6 threes.
Oh wow! Last I checked, it was 4. Damn.
He could have been a Nick.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Kevin Knox. Woo! How did he do?
Well, Porter Jr. I mean, the back thing obviously was a concern, but man, he is like the real deal, Holyfield, when he's healthy.
If he didn't have that back thing, though, I know we always joke about it could have been a Nick. If he didn't have the back thing, he probably would have went top three, maybe even top two.
Oh, for sure. Easily. Yeah.
Definitely.
But damn. We got Kevin Knox, though.
Yeah.
I think you wanted him, though, didn't you?
No, actually. So I was in the Barclays Center live for that draft, and the whole crowd was cheering, "We want Porter." They were chanting, "We want Porter." And I actually didn't want him because I was really scared for that his back wouldn't hold up, because they were saying that he's going to have to sit out a year. And I think that's what he did with Denver. And I didn't want any part of that. So I don't know. I was wrong.
Yeah, he did. He did sit out a year. And wow, finally, Blazers Nuggies have an early game. Is this the first game that hasn't been at like 10 o'clock East Coast time?
Yeah. Yeah, because I haven't been able to watch more than past halftime for any of their games.
Yeah, and that series, I mean, last time we did the playoff preview, we were pretty excited for that series. And I mean, I watched the highlights for after every game, and it's been amazing. Obviously, it's lived up to the hype. I think it's going 7. What is it at right now? 2-2,
it's
right?
6. No, 3-2.
3-2
Denver,
Nuggies.
So
yeah,
this is do or die for Portland.
True. So we got to start. We'll go back to that, but we got to start with the Nickies.
Julius.
Yeah. Who?
Last time I'm ever saying it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Put him in the
done.
Yeah. So let's go all the way back, because it's been 2 weeks now. What did you guys – that feeling of hearing that capacity garden crowd, game one, the first time, off the tip, Knicks are on defense. What were you guys feeling at that moment? Because I know what I was feeling.
I was crying.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it was great. It feels like I can't believe we've experienced this like 2 or 3 times in 20 years, which is a joke.
I know.
So it's but I think it's going to be here. It's going to be routine again going forward.
Yeah, I feel good about that. What about you, Juice?
Yeah, I mean, I think Paul said it the best when we were talking about it as the games were going on. We always knew that this was what it would be like, right?
Yeah.
And the Knicks fans are just so starved for winning basketball and a good product. It's been so long that they just went even more apeshit than they normally would have. But that's how it is in New York. If you win over here, if you win in Madison Square Garden, you're a god. And that set game two when they won, that was awesome. I mean, they were 0.9 seconds from maybe even going...
I know.
Maybe being 2-0, you know, but
yeah,
when it works.
That game one, I hate to just, you know, agonize over it, but that, if that ball that hits off RJ and it goes to Bogdanovich and he hits that three, I mean, I hate to say what if, but like if that, you know, that could go a completely other way and Knicks maybe take game one. It's but they can also easily, you can make the argument they could have easily got swept, right? I mean, they played
right.
Like shit this entire series.
I didn't think at any point, even in game two, the only win they had, even in game one, you know, all 5 games, at no point did I think that they played good basketball ever.
Right.
Weren't, I think every game they trail by double digits every single game.
Yep.
Right.
That's true.
Every game.
Yeah. Yeah. There was never.
I think the Knicks' largest lead was what? 10. Then the Hawks got it, tied it up within like a minute. Outside of that, they were never up like more than 4 to 6 points.
So a crazy stat. Then now you bring that up. I think Breen mentioned it last night. The Knicks led by double digits for a whopping 23 seconds the whole series.
which is insane, because normally, even in playoffs, there's always double digit leads, and you know they go back and forth for the most part, but 23, that's insanity.
Yeah, and insanity. The Hawks, I think it was like 50 something time. It was something in the 50s. So
they were better, man. They're definitely the better, deeper. I thought McMillan outcoached Thibodeau tremendously.
For sure.
I didn't see Thibodeau make one adjustment. Every pick and roll, they were always caught in between with what to do with Trae Young. Either just go under the screen and let him shoot like from three, live with that, because he was getting into the lane and then throwing alley-oop and doing the floater. There was no resistance at all. And clearly, Reggie Bullock was not working on Trae Young. So what are you doing with that? Try Frank. Oh. All he did was play 15 seconds in that first game. He has a history of playing great defense on him. What do you have to lose by game four or five? Like, switch it up. He didn't try it. Like, I get it. He's like, oh, we're good. But then he did switch it because he sat down Peyton. So what's going on here? I thought Frank not playing was kind of that was a big mistake.
I'm not going to go as far as – so I'll probably play devil's advocate for a lot of the things that both of you guys will, like, we can go back and forth and argue. The one thing though, I was not happy with Thibs about was, I think it was game three. So Reggie Bullock is in the game to score, right? And in 30 minutes, I think he had 0 points. So why is he playing 30 minutes if he's not scoring? Then you got to, go to somebody else.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You're hurting his offense. He was, I think, I don't know the percentage or what the actual stat was, but I know when he scored over 10 points or something like, or if he had 2 threes in a game, the Knicks record was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable this year. So if you have him guarding Trae Young for 40 minutes, how is this guy going to have any energy to play offense?
I know. And we talked about
that's the problem. Like, if you're guarding Trae, like, all of your energy is going into that. Like, chasing him around, he's a 6'7" wing. He's not accustomed to guarding a point guard, especially a fast one, like a crazy fast one like Trae.
Yeah, it made no sense. And we spoke about it on the last pod, how we need to see Frank out there. He has a history of guarding Trae well. And I think Frank was in for like 30 seconds. Game one, I think the end of the first half, and then that last possession where he was called off the bench, and you got to force him left. I mean, I think forcing him left was like working. I don't know why they didn't do that enough. Yeah, it Thibs. I mean, no adjustments, none. I mean, he's stubborn. He sticks to the same lineups. He won't try anything new. And he got out coached. Out everything.
It's tough, right? Because actually, I'll say something a little bit different. And me and, Ryan Allison, shout out to Ryan, we were talking about this. I actually disagreed with him starting Derrick Rose, because Derrick Rose was that nice punch off the bench. You need a little, like, fireworks coming out off when guys need rest.
Yeah.
Bullock wasn't doing anything on Trae Young. Maybe you throw Elfrid Payton on Trae Young and frustrate him a little bit. I think he would have did a better job. But listen, Elfrid Payton stinks.
Frank.
But I think Frank stinks. So here's my thing. Everyone now is, I think, when you look at the regular season, right, this Knicks team overachieved, right? Mm-hmm. They definitely overachieved. They're not talented as, the other teams on the Eastern Conference. I look at the regular season of the NBA, it's so soft. It's like every game is, picture in the NFL, game 17, right? Or week 17. Week 17, sometimes you get guys who play hard. Sometimes guys are sitting out. They start the backup quarterback. And that's what the regular season is like. And for our team, it's all grit and grind. And they were able to be pesky enough to steal some of those games. When you get to the playoffs, like, we can't be starting Taj Gibson and Reggie Bullock and these guys, Alfred Payton. Like, we didn't have the talent. So I'm not going to 100%. Like, listen, could Tibbs have made some adjustments? Definitely. Yes, absolutely. But those adjustments aren't going to allow us to beat that team. Atlanta's way more talented with way better shooters. We didn't have a chance. I don't think so.
Yeah. No, you made a great point.
Both are true. Both are true. Atlanta's a lot better, and he got out coached.
You know? We haven't won in so long that I think all of us, and I'm guilty of it too, like, we got gassed, right? Four seed. Now in my head, I'm like, we'll beat Atlanta. Yeah. Then we're going to play Philly. We're going to frustrate Philly. We might take Philly to seven games. Then we're going to play Brooklyn. We all just got hyped and we were really gassed. Like, after game two, fans are chanting, "We want Brooklyn."
Oh,
like, on what play, like, who's going to score against Brooklyn? Like, RJ Barrett's 20 years old and I love the kid, but he's just not there yet for, like, offense. You know, you can't rely on that guy to even get 15 points in a given night.
He's not. Yeah. Him and
We were delirious. Yeah. It happens. It's been so long.
That's definitely being a New York fan, and obviously the fans were gassed. And you can call that Knicks haven't been there in a while, but you can also call that, like, all right, like, COVID's over. Like, wait, we could be in here without a mask. Like, this is great. And obviously it led to some crazy shit, you know, like, fuck Trae Young chants, which I support, but the spitting, I don't support that. That's fucking reckless. Stuff.
But there were some positives, right?
Yeah.
So even though it's like it's kind of laughable, like, I know Nets fans, our friends, will come to me and say, "Yeah, congratulations on your one playoff victory, and you guys celebrated in the streets like you won the championship."
Right.
But I look at it a different way. I look at it as players around the NBA see that, right? And they see, all right, this team won one playoff game, a game two in the first round. And they're going ballistic.
Yep.
And the arena is as loud as any arena in the entire, like, the whole season, right? Of any arena, we're the loudest. Like, they're going to want to come here and win. Like, it looks good. It looks good.
Yeah.
And I like the chippiness of Atlanta. Like, yeah, like, there was a lot of hatred and trash talking and shit going back and forth. But I loved it. It felt like the Miami Heat. And it felt like Trae Young, like, he fit into that Reggie Miller role, and it was fun. It was good.
Yeah, he impressed me a lot. I mean, we were obviously, like, flipping out, saying some some things we probably can't repeat on this pod right now about him, like, those first two games. But honestly, like, he showed me something, man. He's tougher than I thought. Like, I thought he was, like, this, like, weak little bitch, you know, scared little bitch, whatever player. He took the challenge, and man, he showed out. They had zero answer for him. And maybe, you know, Frank, you know, give Frank a few minutes on him, see what happens. Obviously, you know, we'll never know. But I don't know, Trae impressed me, man. I mean, I still don't like him, but, you know, all the credit to him.
Yeah, he's legit. He's gonna be around dominating the East for a long time, a long, long time.
Yeah, they had they had zero answer, and that team is good. You know, it's funny when we were talking, we probably, you know, did a season preview. I mean, I was pretty high on the Hawks. I thought they had some off season. They signed, you know, all these different guys, and they've had good drafts, but we never really saw it play out, like, the entire regular season because of injuries and whatnot. And these playoffs, we saw it play out. They got a
legit coach. Other coach, I don't even know his name.
Lloyd Pierce.
Clearly, you know,
yeah,
over his head.
Yeah.
And then McMillan, right when McMillan came in, the record was 27-11. So
yeah. So that was that changed the game for them. And then being at full strength changed the game. I mean, Cam Reddish wasn't even playing. Not like I think he was hurt all season, but I know his rookie season.
Hunter was out for a while. Herder was out. Bogdanović was out.
Yep.
Capella was injured. Collins had issues. So
they're the exact opposite of the Boston Celtics, right? They've done a tremendous job with their general manager of using their assets and, like, maneuvering the draft, moving up, moving down, and just collecting young players who can shoot with a lot of potential. And that's the opposite of what Boston did. Boston probably had just as much or even more
picks and assets and things that they could have, cap space and things that they could have done, not even 10% of what Atlanta's done. Atlanta's set up really nicely.
Now, you could make the art, you going back to that draft, you know, if they kept Luka instead of getting Trey, how much better are they? Or are they the same? That's a good kind of like...
No, they're better.
It'd be better, but not way better. I mean...
Yeah, not way better.
I think the trade definitely favors the Mavericks, but, you know, Atlanta didn't get totally...
no, definitely not.
Like, I mean, they got a really, 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 really good player, so... yeah, Luka's just on another level compared to everybody. So
yeah, and we'll get to him in a little bit. But I think the Hawks, they got a shot. Embiid day to day now with the meniscus, torn meniscus.
Hawks are gonna win.
I think so.
They're gonna win.
I think so. Yeah, and it remains to be seen if they can beat the Nets or the Bucks. But they're a good team, and they're gonna be here for a while. They're young, so props to them. But back on the Knicks, I mean, just so disappointing with the performances by Julius. And RJ and just the whole team in general. I mean, no one except for Derrick Rose, who just got gassed, I think, by like game 4 and 5.
Yeah, he was nicked up, tired. Yeah. So
yeah, but he was incredible those first three games. Other than him, I mean, Alec Burks, I guess, was good. And you could make an argument maybe they start him at point guard. Who? Oh, Obi.
I was happy with Obi, man. He was not afraid of the
moment,
you know, the situation, the moment at all. I wasn't expecting that. That shows a lot that he has that mentality to, you know, really, really. He's not afraid. He's gonna be legit.
I think he thrived off the crowd. I mean, in game two, the alley-oop, his mom crying, I got goosebumps. It was great, great moment. I still don't know kind of what his game is, but he can hit the three. He's obviously like a swing man, a run and gun type. We'll see.
I think, obviously, he'll never be this guy was a freak defensively, but like a Sean Marion type on offense.
Maybe. That's like a good comparison. I never thought of that. It's a good comp. I like that.
You know, just kind of awkward, a little, like, just scores in weird ways, can kind of shoot the three. Awkward shot. But Marion was a freak defender. Oh, that guy was awesome.
What do you think happened to Julius?
I don't know.
He looked like his body language just looked terrible. Like, he was just not – it wasn't, like, physical mistakes. He just looked like the effort wasn't there. Over-dribbling all the time, didn't recognize stuff. I don't know what the hell
he played like last year.
Like last year, yep.
Yeah.
I was about to say it. Yep. Trying to dribble into traffic, and it was ugly, man.
It might have gotten to his head, right? Like, it was so much pressure. He just won the Most Improved Player award. And then game one, you're in the Garden. It's so loud. There's so much pressure for them to win. He had one bad game, and it snowballed. He couldn't, like, shake it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I don't know if it'll ever come out, if it really is true. Some people are saying he might be hurt. I also think he just doesn't have help. It's easy for Atlanta to game plan. The guy averaged 37 points per game in three games against Atlanta.
Yeah.
So Nate McMillan's like, hey, how about this? We just focus on frustrating him and stopping him, and let's see who else is going to score.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And that's when a guy like RJ has to step up, and he didn't at all.
And he didn't. Right. No. RJ had some big moments. I mean, the dunk on Bogdanovich was epic. I mean, that was amazing. But other than that, I mean, can you think of anything else he really did? I mean, he was kind of disappointing. But again, he's 20 years old, second year. I mean, I'm not going to overreact, you know. But yeah, Julius. Listen, what we realized, he's not a number one. That's what we realized, and that's good to know.
What do you do with him? Do you just let him play out next year, and then?
Well, what's his contract? He's got what?
He'll be on the team next year. I think it's a team option.
Okay.
Okay. So he can play, you know, the upcoming year. Not knowing his situation, so maybe he won't be too happy playing without an extension. You know, that's part of it also. But you might be like, hey, you know, you got to prove it before we give you a max contract. So,
right,
it's a really
the Knicks don't have to do anything.
It's a real tough situation because the guy's a good guy, and he works his ass off.
Yeah,
and I think he's definitely a Tom Thibodeau player. he cost himself a lot of money. The thing is, like, the deal would have got worked out if he, say he averaged like 30 a game and then the Knicks lost in seven games. He would have got a really nice deal. I'm not saying he would have got a max deal, but he would have a really nice deal, and it would have been done this summer. Now, if the Knicks don't do a deal with him in the summer, it's like he's going to be a little butthurt. The Knicks are already butthurt that he didn't play well, and they don't know what they have again.
Right.
Which, you know, so it's a really tough situation. It's bad because if they don't, if they just opt in, right, and Julius comes back next year, then next, after the season, he's a free agent. He can go anywhere. Is he really going to stay with the Knicks? Might not keep him. You know, I don't know. It's a, he's almost, he's in the exact, he's D'Angelo Russell for the Nets.
Yeah.
And we are in the, we're in the exact same boat as the Nets. We're following that same arc of that. That's how they got where they are.
That's so true. That's so true. Yeah. I mean, let's see how
I think it
plays
also
out.
Depends. I think it also depends what kind of moves they make this summer early, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to decide, okay, you know, if we say they do get a star, then you're like, okay, we can get Randall as a number two, keep him, maybe not sign him to a max, but sign him to a very nice extension long term. They're going to try and make some big moves pretty early on to, I think Rose, he said it, right, in the interview. He was alluding to it. They have big plans, and, you know, he would know, you know, they definitely have some stuff, you know, under their sleeves that they're, ready to bring out.
Well, first off, I was thinking about this, you know, the other day. How many players are actually worth, and I know everyone gets a max these days. Like, if you're like a top 30 player, you're getting a max. But, like, how many players are in the league are really worth a max contract? 10, 12? I mean,
yeah,
they throw around this word max, and a lot of players get it, unfortunately. Like Mike Conley got a max, and he wasn't even an all-star. He never even made it an all-star
game.
It's just like it's thrown around too much. I think like there's really only 10 to 12 players who really like deserve a max in the league, but it is what it is. But that kind of brings us to our next point, the offseason. It's going to be a big huge one. I mean, I know we say this every year, but like this might be the biggest just cuz I think they did an amazing job of proving this is a place to come and play now. You know, so
I mean, they have cap space. They have a legit coach. They have legit young talent, and they have a ton of draft picks coming up. So
yeah, they have $60 million.
There's no excuse not to get to improve the team.
I wrote it down here: $60 million in cap space, 7 first rounders over 5 years, 11 second rounders over 6 years, and then obviously, you know, they do have a talented young core. With IQ, OB, RJ, et cetera, Mitch. I keep forgetting about Mitch Robinson. What the hell are they going to do with him? But, what do you guys – I mean, what do you think? I mean, we're always talking about it, you know, who they're rumored to trade for, free agency. Bill Simmons came out and said it that, you know, Kawhi, you never know. If the Clippers get knocked out, maybe he comes to the Knicks. He's already saying that, so – but Juice, you said something this morning that I could definitely see happening with Kawhi.
What did I say? That he would go to the Warriors?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think he's happy on that team for whatever reason. Since he signed with the Clippers, they haven't been able to develop the chemistry. But the guy's a baller. He's a winner. I don't know if he would want to leave California, though. So in my mind, I'm like, well, who else is in California? Golden State.
Yep.
You get healthy Clay Thompson back. You have Steph Curry, who's been balling out. Yep. You just need Draymond to get in shape. And I think, you know, you could flip Wiseman, and they're going to get I think their pick, if the Minnesota's pick is not in the top three, I think the Warriors get it. So you can package that all up.
Jeez.
But do they have cap space? I mean,
oh, that's a good point too. I mean, don't know.
Kurt, how are you going to sign Kawhi if you have Kurt? I think you would have to trade Green to get cap. Wiggins has a ton of money too.
Yeah, you'd have to do a sign and trade. You'd probably unload Wiseman, the first rounder this year, Wiggins to make the money work, and you go from there.
Oubre.
Oubre. Yeah, I forgot about him too.
Future pick. Future he's
getting,
pick.
He's getting paid money too. He's getting paid like $15 million. Yeah. I'm looking at.
Yeah. Now there was those trades that Paul you sent this morning for I think it was what Dame Lillard, which is a dream.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal, and then there was one more player, star player too. But like, I mean, it was giving up Julius, RJ, and 3 first round picks.
Yeah, that's a little much for Dame. Like I said, I think for Dame, RJ, it would definitely require RJ, probably Obi or Quickly, and 2 first rounders. But they're gonna want more. I mean, he's a superstar.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
See, it seems like a lot to us, and it is like a lot since we don't have so many tradable players that teams want.
Right.
But the Blazers will want more. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and then Beal, you know, it's like the same, you know, for all these star players, you really have to like give up like everything. I mean, look at the Lakers for AD. It's a shame. Now, I was saying to you guys this morning, I teased it, you know, who would be the perfect Nick, who's like kind of like a superstar, is Jimmy Butler. I mean,
yeah,
I just think, you know, the Tibbs connection, I just think he fits New York perfectly.
No, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, because I thought you were talking about a point guard at first. That's what.
Yeah, I don't know. About how what they're going to do there. I mean, you know, Lonzo rumored to want $20 million a year. Fuck that. He's not worth $20 million, to me at least.
No.
And then Chris Paul, you know, there's rumors of him possibly wanting to exercise his contract and, I don't know, do something. But, like, he's always hurt.
Schroeder,
he's a scoring point guard, though. I want like a facilitator, man. I want a guy who's...
He can do both. Kind of, but I feel like if he came here, he'd try and score more than facilitating. That's why I'm a little skeptical of him.
Right.
He can pass, but, you know, with the Lakers, he's asked to just kind of facilitate, stay out of the way of LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
Score when they're not in the game. But, yeah, if he came here, I feel like he'd get a little bit too trigger-happy shooting.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to, you know, everyone wants, of course, you want your – the number one superstar, right? But I just don't see it happening. Like, Mitchell just signed a contract, right? They're not going to get rid of Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
Damian Lillard, it's tough for... Like, I don't see them trading him, but Portland needs to do something because how many reiterations of this Portland Trailblazer team are we going to see that they just go in the playoffs and get knocked out in the second round or whatever?
McCollum's got to go. Like,
yeah, they got to figure something out.
Yeah, maybe.
When I look at the Knicks, right, I love the Jimmy Butler idea. Like, he is New York, right, with his whole fashion and his personality and his coffee and just his whole swag. And
oh, the fans would love him. The fans would love him, and he would eat it up, too. Yeah.
But Miami's in a tough spot because I don't think they can give up on Jimmy Butler because, like, Tyler Herro took a major step back.
Oh, yeah.
They have Bam. And then Oladipo is out for all of next year, it looks like. So they don't have much. They need to hang on to him unless we're giving up, like, R.J. Barrett or something. I don't want to do that. When I look at the Knicks, I'm kind of thinking, right, we need a semi-star. We need a star, but we're probably not going to get a star. And we need shooters, right? I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox, who's unhappy in Sacramento, right? You get him at the point guard, but then you also need shooters. So I want Buddy Hield also. So we're going to have to maybe throw them some of our toys to get both of them.
Have you seen a rumor about that?
No, I'm just making it up. I thought De'Aaron Fox, because he's probably unhappy in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And Sacramento needs to blow it up. The owner, that guy needs to sell the team or hire somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. So, you know, I thought about Fox, and then I said, well, we need a shooter. Give me Buddy as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, off the top of my head. And then the other guy I was thinking of is Zach LaVine.
Well, what's his contract? I always forget about him because the Bulls, you know.
He's under contract, but the Bulls are under the stage where they're also revamping, and I don't know if they really love him as a fit for what they're trying to do.
Because he would be perfect. He's like a... I've seen him make a few game winners. Like, he's like a go-to guy. You know, you want that last shot. Because we still haven't seen, Julius didn't prove that at all. Even the regular season, I don't think he had any game winners or anything like that, you know? So, like,
I don't believe the Knicks are going to go after Carl Anthony Towns, and they're not going to gut everything in the house for Bradley Beal. I just don't see it.
I don't see
that. So what about, instead of Beal, Buddy Hield, and you sign Lonzo?
So Buddy and Lonzo? Yeah, I mean,
so the starting lineup would be like Lonzo, Buddy, RJ, Randall, Mitch.
That's still missing a star, though.
I know. Like, does that beat the Hawks? I mean, it takes, it probably goes six, seven games, maybe. But, like, yeah. What's these big plans that, like, you know, is rumored to be happening? I'm wondering, like, do they have, does Worldwide West have something, you know, like a commitment from someone already? You know what I mean? Like,
well,
we
have. They kind of got hosed. They got hosed a little bit because the one year that they're coming off with a lot of momentum, with money, picks, and assets, there's not a lot of big free agents, which
I know,
sucks.
Which, like, sucks. I know. Timing.
It's just always terrible timing with this team.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea what they're going
to
do. Like, zero.
They're going to have to make some trades. My opinion on it is that they're tired of going the young route and finding out that I don't think they give a shit about these draft picks, because clearly Dennis Smith, Kevin Knox,
yeah,
Frank.
You're right.
Even RJ is slowly progressing. It's not like anything like lightning fast. I bet you they get a bunch of vets. And I'm telling you, they're going to get – I don't know if CP3 is going to be available, but that would be an option. They're going to get a bunch of veterans.
Yeah. I see Chris Paul going to either like the Knicks or the Lakers. You know,
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's
really
leaving Phoenix. No.
Because he's at a point where, like, it's like you're getting old here, bro. Like, he's going to want to be on a – I mean, Suns are farther
ahead than
contender,
Knicks. Though.
Yeah, you're right.
They're
you're
good.
Right. You're right. You're
good.
I stopped myself. I don't know, man. It's going to be – obviously, the rumor mill is already starting. We saw Rakan Holmes, another king, rumored to the Knicks. And then Schroeder. So it's already starting. I don't know.
Can't you even see them getting like a DeMar DeRozan? Like, that
He's not like the guy ever. Nope.
No. I'm saying, but that's like, I feel like if they get the point guard situation figured out, like, they're going to go towards vets like that. Even though he doesn't fit, right? He's a mid-range guy. He's older.
Yeah.
He's been around. He doesn't really push the needle, but.
And he's still going to want to get paid. He's still going to want a lot of money. So, you know, it's like, nah.
Yeah, it's.
Also, tough. I didn't realize they have the 32nd pick, which is like an extra first. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that's, they have
big
assets
sure. That's big to move up if they want to get into the top five, maybe, because there are some good draft point guards available.
And in a trade, I forget how the cap works. Can you just throw money to a team? I mean, we have a shitload of money. Like, can that work in a deal? I'm not sure how that works.
I'm not totally sure. I know, like, they throw in cash sometimes, but I think there's a max with that. Yeah. But if they could get into the top five to draft like a Cunningham or a Suggs, you have a point guard for 12 years, you know. So
those guys are studs. You can't trade money, but you can absorb a contract.
Okay,
you can just take on. So it's kind of like a trade.
Yeah,
but to get those two guys, you're gonna have to give up the two first rounders, the 32nd pick, and probably. You might even have to give up, like, RJ, honestly.
Wait, for who? For what guys?
If you want to get into the top, like, three or five to get Cunningham or Jalen Suggs in the draft, yeah, you're going to have to give up a lot.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. But, listen, it's year one, Leon Rose. And last year, like, with the options Leon Rose had and Worldwide West and Scott Perry, the options were, all right, pay $100 million or whatever to Fred VanVleet, or pay Gordon Hayward $125 million, you know, and he's staying put. And like, we got made fun of a lot because we signed Austin Rivers. And after year one, we have 41 wins projected to be 22. So let them work now. This is their, now they got to go to work and they got to do their thing and they got to get the talent for Tibbs to like win.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, 22 wins. Vegas had them at. They had 41. They overachieved. The fans are excited. So, yeah, you know, let's see what happens. It's gonna be
most improved player.
Yeah.
Freaking second, I mean, runner up to the coach of the year. Derrick Rose could have won sixth man of the year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They had a real, I'm really incredibly proud of this team, and it's awesome. It's been a long time since, like, we're watching Knicks games and we have something fun to talk about, or you're at least like happy going to bed or excited for games. Like, it's great.
After that game one, like, I haven't felt like that in a long time. Like, I just haven't had that feeling. I didn't sit down game one until like the third quarter. Like, I was just standing. I was so excited. I was like, I couldn't believe this. Like, it was just amazing.
You had that.
Yeah. Well, just the crowd. I was just like, it was electric. It was awesome. So it was nice to have that feeling back, and hopefully more of that. So, but the rest of the playoffs have been very exciting. So obviously we got Nets Bucks, which I can't wait for. I think that's going seven. That's going to be epic. We got Sixers Hawks, which we just kind of covered a little bit. We think the Hawks are going to steal that one. And then the West is like up in the air, like way up in the air.
West, anyone can win. Yeah. Honestly, crazy.
It is crazy.
Utah. No one really talks about them enough, I don't think.
No, they're good. I mean, they lost that game one, and Donovan Mitchell was all pissed off because they sat him. But obviously they took the series pretty easily after that.
Yeah, they won every game since. They smacked them.
Smacked them. Like, every game, they blew them out. So, yeah, they're a legit team. Nuggets and Portland seem almost evenly matched. I think if Jamal Murray was playing, Nuggets probably would have already ended that series, even though Portland's really good. I don't know. Lillard had that 55-point game that was just insane, but they lost. Probably best performance in a loss I've ever seen. And then Lakers are probably toast. I mean, AD's playing tonight, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it, man. I think he's definitely hobbled, and LeBron's just not, you know, he it's starting to father time caught up.
Yeah. And they're going to be, you know, just like the Knicks, they're going to be searching for another star this offseason, probably.
Which I'm sure they'll get somehow, because it's the Lakers and they always get their way.
They always somehow get their way. But the most interesting series is the Mavs and the Clips. I mean, Mavs up 3-2. Luka just had an insane performance last night. I didn't see this coming.
No.
And, it's going to be interesting how the Clippers, you know, because they're just, you know, the biggest chokers in the league. So
Playoff P.
Yeah, Playoff P. And, you know, I don't know why Tyronn Lue keeps getting jobs. I mean, you know, obviously he's just one of those coaches where, you know, just stay away. Don't say a word. You know, just let the players play.
Him and Jason Kidd. Watch Jason Kidd get the Boston job too. It's like,
so that was, yeah. So I want to get into that. Crazy how, so Brad Stevens turns down the Indiana job, which, if I'm a kid growing up in Indiana, big basketball head, that's got to be like the dream, right? To be the Indiana Hoosiers coach.
$70 million.
Yeah. Crazy. And he turned it down because he wanted to be president of the Celtics. I mean, that's a great job too. But, like, interesting how he seems like a coach. You know what I mean? Like, just one of those, like, diehard, you know, like, live or, you know, like, just lives to coach. So I'm kind of shocked he, like, you know, doesn't want to coach anymore.
No. He said he was burnt out. I think Woj was saying that, how he's just tired of coaching. And NBA coaching is tough, man. It's like, you don't have as much control as you would in college.
That's true.
You know, these guys are making $20 million. Like, what are you going to do? Just bench them for the rest of this? Like, you can't. You just can't. It's they have too much power. So, NBA, it's very tough to coach for a long period of time at the same team. You get burnt out, you know?
Yeah. No,
I thought he was going to stay a little bit longer, but it's not totally shocking. But, yeah, I mean Danny Ainge, all the opportunities with all those picks to get another star, and he never did anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Every season, every offseason, it's like, oh, every trade deadline, what's Ainge going to do? He's waiting for that big piece, and it just never came. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty remarkable. But who do you think is going to be the next coach there?
They keep on saying this, that assistant that's already there.
Oh, Laga, whatever.
Larinaga. I don't know. I don't know if that's Jim Larrañaga's son from Miami, but probably.
Yeah, probably.
I would think it's a guy that Stevens has personal experience with, that he coached with,
yeah,
either at Butler or on the Celtics. But yeah, Jason Kidd is another one that, yeah, he just seems to be involved in every single job opening.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know, seriously. Yeah, and he'd have to go cross country for that one, but I'm sure he's dying to have another head coaching job. So yeah,
as a Knicks fan, who wouldn't you want them to hire?
Oh man, it's a great question. As a Knicks fan, I mean, I don't know who's not Kenny Atkinson, maybe, because we wanted him. Remember, we wanted him to coach the Knicks. So I guess
that's a good one. That'd be tough seeing him up there.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because he seems a little more creative than Thibs is, but whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good assistant coaches. I mean, when the Knicks everybody was a foregone conclusion the Knicks were going to hire Tom Thibodeau, but they interviewed, what, 10 assistant coaches around the league? There's a lot of good folks. They can grab somebody. I bet you they go that route rather than get like a name.
Which is interesting. I mean, the Celtics are, you know, they're one of the flagship team, you know, one of the most known famous teams. So you think they would go for a big name, but you never know. Yeah, they might surprise people and just go.
Maybe they're getting Krzyzewski. Maybe they're getting Krzyzewski or Roy Williams.
Well, that's a good segue there. So Coach K was it just yesterday decides to step down, retire. I mean, this is you know, I mean, Paul Strader, would you say he's the greatest college coach of all time?
Yeah, because he didn't really step into a powerhouse at Duke. I think it's between him, Calhoun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people can always say John Wooden, but like, I don't know, what was the competition like back then? He had bagmen giving all the top recruits to him, and they would stay for 3 or 4 years. But like, actual coach that I saw in game, I mean, Coach K was great, obviously, but I still say Calhoun and Patino are the best coaches I've ever seen in college.
Yeah, yeah, those are good ones.
Patino, no matter what, he was the first guy to do like that press, you know, three pointers, you know, like that's all it was. It was just 40 minutes of pressing, up tempo, shooting threes, but then also he could slow it down and like play his zone. And Calhoun was he was a beast.
The replacements to me are really shocking, right? Roy Williams retires and they hire Hubert Davis, and then Krzyzewski retires and they go to this John Shire, who used to be a player, you know, back in the day. I think he won a title with Duke in 2010.
He did, yeah.
But I always thought when these guys retired, there would be like a big name coming in and replacing them. But I guess not.
That's how it used to be. But now also, you're not going to get NBA guys to come back to college, especially now. It's with the whole recruiting landscape. They're doing very soon. They're going to have to deal with the name, image, and likeness aspect of it, where kids are probably going to get paid for it.
Right.
The transfer thing. These kids can just leave after 1 year, no restrictions. So it's like it's going to be free agency pretty much every year. And college coaches, like the how much effort they put in to recruit, they have to baby these kids and like tell, like, if you're a 78-year-old man, you want to like fly to a small gym in Georgia to like, you know, watch games all day and then have to text these kids at night saying how much you want them, and then boom, he commits and then he's gone the year after to do it again. It's grueling.
That's agonizing. So, my God,
I think that's a part. It's hard, and I think that's part of it. They're like, they see where the game is going. And they're like, nah, I, you know, what more do I have to do?
Right. You just got me thinking a little bit, and I think it would have been the Knicks, if anything, but Calipari, you know, maybe he's like thinking about it now. Maybe he takes a Celtics shot. Nah, that wouldn't make sense. Calipari's going to be like a GM. He's going to be like a GM somewhere.
I think he'd be a GM. Yeah. Better as a GM.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe isn't the Celtics, they're looking for a GM, right? Because Stevens is the president, right? He's not the GM, too, right?
Yeah, he's, I guess, the whatever president of basketball operations. So
yeah,
they'll look for a GM.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, that'd be interesting. He coached at UMass, so he's used to the state of Massachusetts. But
yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I would think eventually, soon, I think he's going to get out of Kentucky to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much. What about Patino? I mean, is you think he stays at Iona and that's it? I mean, I think
he'll get one more big job somewhere.
Yeah.
One more.
It won't be NBA, but it'll be a college. Big job, but it won't be like one of the blue bloods or anything like that. It might be, you know, a smaller school, like a school like Minnesota or Iowa or something like that. Maybe he'll get one of those.
I always thought like he should. I always wanted to see him at St. John's at the Garden.
Yeah. Long Island kid. Like, I just, that kind of makes perfect sense. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you who the St. John's coach is right there. Who is the St. John's coach?
Mike Anderson. He's from Arkansas. He actually, he did pretty well. He got an extension. Yeah. So.
Okay. Not bad. When's the second round start? Saturday, right? Playoffs
Saturday, yeah. Brooklyn. That's like what I'm looking forward to.
Me too.
Brooklyn, Milwaukee.
I can't wait for that series. I'll watch probably every second of it. And then we'll see with the West. I really have no idea. I mean, I think the Suns ended tonight, and then they would play the winner of Clips, Mavs, or
let me see. Or let winner me check of, it real quick.
Yeah, we could check this real quick. See the seating here. Oh wait, I actually have it right here. So actually no, I have no idea.
Hold on, I got Phoenix and Lakers play the Denver Portland winner.
Okay.
And then Utah is gonna play Dallas or Clippers, so yeah.
Okay. So let's say it's Utah Dallas. Okay, and then let's say it's Nuggets Suns. Wow, interesting. That's
Suns. I don't know. That's gonna be a fun.
Pretty
series.
Wide open.
That's kind of crazy, right? Like that the West, the team coming out of, because we were assuming just 2 weeks ago.
Clippers or Lakers.
Clippers or Lakers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's gonna be interesting.
I mean, Utah was the number one seed. They had the best record all year. They dominated the first round. So I think they're just not getting enough respect right now.
Oh, I tell you what, Adam Silver would hate that. Let's say it's Utah, Milwaukee. Oh, God! Talk about small market. That would be I mean, you got Giannis.
You have star power, but the market is like so small.
Yeah, yeah. And I think honestly, after the Knicks fans, the most rowdy, raucous fans are probably Utah. You know, they have a great fan
base.
Everyone
says that.
Yeah.
Opposing fans say that. Utah fans are the most vulgar, like ruthless fans out there.
Well, I remember those Bulls Jazz finals series. I remember like they would have like the noise meter and stuff in Utah. Like those crowds were crazy.
You heard about John Morant, right? What happened there?
Oh, they were saying some racist shit.
Like John Morant's family came to Utah to watch the game. And they were like heckled and a lot of racist stuff was said. But Utah did a great job of, they identified everybody or the people that were doing it. They banned them for life. And then they moved the Morant family courtside for the next game.
That's good.
So now like Mr. Morant, the dad was like, you know, my son, we're out of the playoffs now, but now we're rooting hard for the Jazz.
That's good.
They showed up.
That was classy. I just can't believe there's racist, like, it makes no sense to me in the NBA, a predominantly black league, and like there's racist fans. Like I don't understand that like at all. It's just bizarre.
Crazy.
But I could see like maybe back in the day with the Celtics and Boston, because like, you know, a lot of those teams are like predominantly white. But like, I just can't believe that's still happening. It's just crazy to me. But yeah, should be very interesting. Anything else, guys?
I just don't want to see freaking poor. Like, I love seeing Luka play, and I want to see him advance.
Oh, I know.
But then that means KP advances. So I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Put him in the bench. I'm very conflicted with that because I love Luka.
No, I know.
KP is not good.
He's not. And you know what? That team's not going anywhere. I would love for them to just knock the Clippers out. It gives the Knicks more of a chance to get a Kawhi, even though I don't really think it's going to happen. But yeah, I don't think they go any farther after that. Who knows?
Hardaway, Hardaway has done more for the Mavericks than KP.
He's been balling. I checked the box score. He's always their second guy, which is fucking weird. Yeah. You know, it's weird to think about, but he's good. He's good in that role over there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But that's also a testament to Luka getting them looks, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's unguardable.
Yeah.
He's unguardable.
Yeah.
He's got to be the best. He's the best part of the NBA.
Ooh. Wow.
I think so.
He might be the best player I've seen since
Who's
LeBron.
Better?
He's top five. Yeah, I agree. He's
when
top
I watch,
five.
When I watch like him, I'm just like, this guy. He's the best right now.
Well, the way he just controls the game is just it's remarkable how he's just able to take over. And it's just you look at him and he's just like, you know, he doesn't look in shape at all. Kind of like a Harden, right? Like the game just comes so easy to those two players. It's just like effortless to just put up a triple double.
He's strong as hell, though.
He is.
He's got like a... That's true. He's not like cut, but he's like... He's strong.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was listening to this guy, this like health and fitness guy on Joe Rogan recently, and he was talking about Luka. I guess his team or whatever worked with Luka Doncic, and what they discovered was he has no vertical, no speed, but what he's elite at is stopping, like going as fast as he can
quick.
And just stopping.
Quick,
and yeah, he's just quick. He's just stopping and going. Like he's like elite at that, and I found that so interesting.
Change of pace.
Him and Harden
are unbelievable at that.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Change of pace. Yeah, if you're not like a fast or athletic person, like that's huge in basketball.
He and the way he maneuvers his body, he does what Trae Young does, except he's 6'8" and like 250. So,
yeah,
you know he's able to muscle through contact. He's unbelievable.
He is. He is.
He whines a little bit too much for me, though.
He does. He does.
I think like that's a European thing, but
that's a Slav thing. Yeah, Slavic. Yeah,
very, very dramatic. I'm like, all right, just play. Take it easy.
Yeah, emotional European for sure. But yeah, should be interesting to watch. Rest of the series. Let's see what the Knicks do in the offseason, and I'm sure we'll be on top of it. Anything else that we didn't get to?
I wanted to say that Phil Mickelson winning the PGA tournament was the most impressive sports thing I've watched all year, and that even includes Tom Brady at age 97 winning the Super Bowl. Because Phil Mickelson is a million years old, and he went on the hardest, longest, toughest golf course and beat every best golfer in the world at age 50.
Lefty.
It was impressive. That was amazing.
Yeah, and so he's the oldest to ever win a major. And which I thought Jack Nicklaus definitely had done that, but I guess not. I think he just like always looked old to me. But it just the scene of like everyone walking behind him, like that Happy Gilmore type
crazy.
Scene. Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah. That was
I had to ask like I'm new to the whole, you know, golf sport and all that stuff. I had to text one of my friends and who was like really been a lifelong fan. And I was like, is it always like this? Is it like this like before COVID? He was like, no, man, this is insanity. This is just pure madness. Well, fans everywhere.
Well, that day, so that was the same day of game one of Knicks Hawks. I know COVID's not over, but that almost felt like the official end of COVID that day between the Knicks crowd and that crowd at the PGA championship.
It was kind of scary, right? Didn't you feel like nervous? Yeah. I was like my anxiety was like right because like they were almost like swarming Phil, and then you didn't see Koepka for a while. Like he had to fight through the crowd.
Yeah And that was interesting too. So the whole Koepka Bryson exchange with Bryson walking by Koepka as he's doing that interview and he makes the faces and stuff, and them going at each other on Twitter, and now, and then what's the 2-on-2 they're doing?
Oh, they're gonna do the match.
Yeah.
So it'll be Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson versus Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau.
That's gonna be something. Now, do they really not like each other, like legit, like, or is it just kind of like?
Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau really don't like each other. They've had beef for years now.
Okay. Interesting.
How did my man do? Xander Soufflé.
He's actually, I think he's right now, he's in second or third place in this weekend's tournament. He's good. That guy's going to win.
He's always there. Yeah, he's like, he's always there. Like, I always see his name and I'm like, how do you pronounce that again?
But, you know, you were talking about the match, and I was listening to a golf podcast where they had Charles Barkley on, and he said, I thought it was very interesting. He said the best NBA golfers, right, are the best ones that he's ever seen are Ray Allen, which I was like, all right, I can see Ray Allen being like smooth guy on the golf course.
Nice swing, yeah.
Yeah, like his form is perfect on the basketball court. Why wouldn't it be perfect on the golf course?
Exactly,
so that makes sense. But the second name, I was so surprised that I thought, wow, that's so cool. He said Penny Hardaway.
Oh,
I can see that.
I could see that too. He's smooth. He was a smooth player. I could see
I don't know. I was just like, wow, I never would have thought Penny Hardaway. I just, in my head, I can't see him with golf clubs in his hand. But Charles Barkley said him and Ray Allen are the best basketball golf players.
Interesting. I know Jason Kidd is like obsessed with golf too. I don't know if he's good or not, but I know he like really likes to golf a lot.
Yeah. It's like a cultural thing, and I think it's an addiction for sure. I think there's a lot of people. Listen, I'm one of them that I love it, but I'm terrible at it, and I'm trying to learn to get better. But some folks, I find it fascinating when you hear, like, Dan Marley shoots in the 70s, and he, like, that's awesome, right? Yeah. Or, like, Penny Hardaway is really, really good, or
Who is the baseball player who used to play before, like, every game? Former Met. What's his face? Who is the former Met player that was always hurt just recently? Cuban guy. Why am I...
Cespedes?
Yeah.
I thought Yoannis. He rode horses all the time.
What's that?
I thought he was like he's the horse guy too.
Yeah, he's a very weird, eccentric guy. But Yoannis supposedly used to golf like before every baseball game, which that can't be good. It can't be good for a lot of reasons. And obviously he was injury prone whole career. Is he still playing?
I don't think so.
Okay. And we need.
I think he's done.
We need our Mets.
He tried to come back. Hold on, let me see.
We need our Mets experts, Bobby and DJ, to confirm that.
Last I heard, he had like both triceps torn completely off, and like he had some Achilles issues. Yeah, his whole body.
Yeah, destroyed. But like I remember reading, he used to golf before, like probably like 9 rounds, but still, or 9 holes, but still, like even that, like. I don't know. Golf's kind of exhausting for me. Like after like 11 or 12, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah. Aaron Hicks plays all the time on the Yankees.
It's
probably why he's always hurt.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to Hilton Head, South Carolina in July, and I'll be playing like 36 holes every day.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go. We'll see.
36. Oh, my juice.
Oh, no. I don't know. Maybe I'm in too deep, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out.
And it's going to be like 93 and like 100% humidity.
We'll do a podcast on it, and I'll let you know how it went.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be exhausted. But you know what? If you love the game, and it's Hilton Head, so it's going to be beautiful. Like, whatever. You know? It'll be fine. It's probably on the water somewhere. You could just jump in the water, take a dip. Just don't get eaten by an alligator.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, guys. I think we said it all.
Sure. I think that's it.
Wait, are the Knicks still here? Or no, they lost.
Nah,
they're gone.
We gone.
Yeah.
Shit. Damn.
Oh, well. Always next season. So. All right, guys.
Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks. Yeah. What's their thing? Antlers up or horn? What is it?
Fear the deer.
Fear the deer.
I'm just gonna walk around all day dressed up as a deer.
As a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna root for the Suns.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know, man. Do the Bucks really like? Can they win? I don't know. I want to believe it, but I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's going to be a long series. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
The Nets are so good, man. It breaks my heart.
Greatest offensive team ever. So
you think so? Better.
Well,
than
no. Statistically, numbers wise, they are.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Offensive
efficiency.
Could have been up, man.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Disaster.
Anyway, disaster.
All right. Take care.
You're welcome.